You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Linda Daniels. Linda, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for calling me and doing this.
Linda, we're talking about your show, of course, at Lvov Gallery, and you know, there were some paintings in there I really loved, and I want to get right into it. Of course, you know, the show is three artists, but today we're talking about your work, and so yeah, to begin with, I like the idea of the show, the Happiness Project. This was organized by Jose Freire, right, who ran Team Gallery. So let's talk about the work in this show. These are kind of very bold graphic works of different colors. Maybe we can just begin with the process here. I'm thinking of, you know, turquoise, blue, yellow, green with white, and this is a kind of pairing on a canvas, quite a large canvas. So to talk about turquoise, blue, yellow, green with white, can you tell me a little bit about this, how this process works? Do you start with a drawing or?
I'll try to make it as simple as possible. The show, the Happiness Project with Jose, was great. The other two artists are artists that I've known for years. And I actually showed with Jose, you know, way back in the day, and so did Jill Levine, and I think Marilyn was even in a group show. And these paintings, are the paintings that are in the show, are quite recent, and in some ways they probably look a little different than the paintings that back in the 90s when I showed with Jose. I call them the process of the painting. I think of myself as a formalist and obviously an abstract painter, and I have always been very interested in keeping the painting sort of direct and simple as possible, but I've always worked with a bit of a system, not that that isn't important in the end, and I've always been interested in inserting or incorporating ideas of decoration that are not always thought of within a more minimalist formal environment. And my work has sort of vacillated with how much that decorative element is takes forefront. So this work is work that I made. I lived in New York for 30 years, and in 2014 I moved back to California, where I was kind of from. And I also went to school here, so in California. So I kind of think of them as my California paintings, but it was a big move, and they sort of got they went to the much more simplistic mode. But I sort of feel like they are that they do everything that I've always wanted them to do, but they do it really simply. The way the work has started for a long time is I work with a grid. All my paintings start with drawings, and they start with drawings on graph paper. And I work with I develop a series of shapes based on some limitations I give for myself. And I sort of come up with a library of shapes. These all came from a grid of circles. And whether the circles were like four circles across or six or 4x4. And once I come up with a drawing, a shape that I like, then I will kind of play around with the shape. And the recent work, I would also sort of double the shape. Like the turquoise, blue, yellow, green is the same shape, but there are two of them on the canvas. There's another canvas that there are other canvases with that same shape where there's only one, or maybe it's split. So the system is kind of a very open-ended system, and it's just a means of me coming up with a vocabulary that I then use to produce paintings. And what gets produced as a painting is very intuitive. Like in the show, there was a big change in scale. Like the painting, the big painting is like 40 by 80, but I also had paintings that were small, 16 by 16. And they were all done from this series of shapes that I came to through the drawing process.
So that's so interesting, you know, that process and how you're discussing this. You said that when you moved back to California and you were doing this in a more simplistic way, you said, but it did what I wanted it to do. What is it exactly that you want it to do that it did do in a more simplistic form, as you said?
Well,
I
think
right.
My work, even though I mentioned minimalism and formalism, I'm not really comfortable with the word minimalism. I like formalism better. And the idea of allowing certain elements of decoration to be introduced in that. I think basically painting is a decorative act. You're putting paint on a surface to either say something or to enhance it. And so there's elements of that I've always been really interested in. But I think the means by doing that for me comes down to dealing with perception and the idea of being able to open up how people look at things. And of course, I'm dealing with how people look at paintings, but I think that can translate into how you then look at other things in the room and in your life in general. So basically what I'm trying to do is affect the way people look at something. So these paintings, I think, do that. I think they're very successful in widening your expectations about what you're looking at. And that is actually what I'm after, like, through the whole part of the process. Like when I do the drawings, at one point when I select a shape, it's because that shape does something for me visually, or it stops me in a certain way. And when I decide what size to make that shape, it's just a filling out of that original moment. And it also has to do with the color, because the beginning of the images are all black and white. So a certain shape will seem more, have more meaning when it is when it becomes a certain color, a specific color. So what I feel about these current paintings is that I think I found a really efficient way of allowing a person to be engaged in a experience, a visual experience that widens the way they look.
Let's talk about that more. That's so interesting, the experience that widens the way they look, because there's a number of elements happening here, right? In an abstract work, not just yours, but going back, you know, many years, there's often an element of something, for lack of a better word, like spirituality. I mean, certainly Hilma af Klint and many, many others, that there's something about what it means when someone is looking. So, you know, how the viewer experiences something visually and also neurologically and psychologically. So when you talk about the experience with a viewer and how they're looking at it. Is there anything like a narrative that comes in there, or part of that experience being something akin to an internal one, a spiritual one, for again, lack of a better word, that hasn't been used for quite a while, but we talk, it seems, more in the last several years about spirituality and art. There's been a kind of resurgence of that, or a resurgence of just being able to talk about that. Can you speak to that? Again, we're talking about like the experience that you're outlining for the viewer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets really dicey. Obviously, you know, it's not like the images that come up are like a narrative images, or they have a specific meaning to me. I think this is where, you know, the formalist aspect comes in. I'm a painter, and I think that painting has the ability, it's kind of like music, is probably one of the best metaphors to sort of relate it to, you know, music without lyrics. The response becomes, it can be a spiritual response, but it's not limited in such a way that it's only one spiritual response. So that's one of the reasons why I'm an abstract painter, because I find that I can be it's easier for me. My vocabulary is more comfortable in that form. Now, I've worked with at one time I was working with more marks within a field in a painting, but the marks were never letters, and they never formed words, and they were never a specific thing like you would think of as language, and that was important to me. But I do feel that there needs to be enough for the viewer to feel familiar with it, so it encourages them to continue to look and they become involved with it. In other words, I'm not of the school that feels that it has no meaning. It just is what it is. And I like to give enough of the specificness that I thought, like, one of the things I like to say is I like them to appear as their own things in the world, so, or in the room, that they have a tangibility, that they seem specific enough, that they're not just a spiritual thing. They're a painting. And I don't know if that answers your question.
It's a complex question, really, right? Like, what is the viewer experience? As you said, you're supportive of a kind of decorative approach, which is, sounds to me, non-narrative, but there is also a specific viewer experience that you're cultivating, correct?
Yeah. Well, it has to do with perception. It's the idea that I'm giving you a visual experience that's strong enough that you begin to be aware of how you're actually looking at things, and how that makes your body feel, and how that makes you aware of, you know, where you are in the room. So when you do that, for some people, that may cause lead to some sort of spiritual experience from your being and your background. But I don't have a specific spiritual idea when I'm making the paintings.
And it is.
That is, for me, one of the great, one of the beauties of abstract painting and art in general, that it doesn't have to be specific, that it can enhance and lead people to places that you maybe didn't know you were making when you made the painting. And that's why I use the music metaphor, because I think that happens when people listen to music. I don't think everybody hears music the same way or responds to it the same way. And I think the same is true of painting. And I think abstract painting often can seem very didactic. So that's one of the reasons why I've been so interested. Part of it is just who I am and how was raised and the fact that I'm a woman and I love textiles and different things, that I'm sort of attracted to certain things. And I think to be able to include things in a work that is sort of surprising to people, I think is important in keeping the genre alive and current.
Yeah, and that's so important, what that means to keep the genre alive and current. You moved, of course, from New York, where you worked for so many years, to California, and you mentioned a shift in the work then. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I mean, they're 3,000 miles apart. This is, you know, California and New York seem to historically have different kinds of painters, different kinds of artists, different kinds of conversations. How has that affected you? You said earlier on you were able to do something, you were able to let them do what they needed to do, the paintings, in a simpler way. Does California affect you differently in terms of how you paint and what you paint, as opposed to New York, which you've had so much experience in both?
Well, no, I think I'm a combination. I think it's accumulation of both things, of all my experience. I mean, my father was in the Air Force, so I sort of moved all over. But from high school on, I was sort of in the Central Coast of California. However, my father was from California, so I would, from the LA area. So throughout my life, I would come back to that area. And I was sort of, when I was going to school, I was very attracted to painting that was going on, that was sort of thought of as the light and space work that was in Los Angeles at the time. At the same time, I was very attracted to textiles. So there was part of that, and a lot of it has to do with light. I mean, I would say that the horizon and the light in California has always been a big influence to me. But when I moved to New York, I learned a lot from going to the museums and all the history that was in New York and all the painting in New York that I saw. And it was a great education for understanding, quote unquote, American painting. So I sort of feel like I'm an accumulation of both things. And it was funny, when I was in New York, people always thought my paintings seemed somewhat California. And when I'm in California, they see New York influences. So I don't think you can separate it out. When I moved back here 14 years ago, it was one of those things when you pack up your studio, move, and, you know, start again. It's sort of, for me, it's always been very clear what still interested me. I was like, if I was working on something, I'm like, well, that doesn't really interest me so much. So in some ways, I do think these are California paintings. But at the same time, I don't think that I could have made these paintings without spending time in New York. And the show at Lubbock was interesting because it was, you know, two people who I had great dialogue with in New York. So I think, you know, you can't separate them out. You know, I'm the product of both places.
I like that. Yeah. It's so interesting to hear about, because they do seem so vastly different, and the light and space movement, yeah, makes also sense there too. I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. Of course, there's links here so listeners can see more, learn more. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to say about this before we go, concerning these works and how you're working now? Is there anything you want to add that I should have asked?
I think basically the only thing I would really say is that the thing that we haven't talked about that I think is really important for painting is that I do believe that painting has the ability. I mean, I am very interested in painting having the ability to bring pleasure and for it to be a positive experience. And it's not that it's, you know, and that it's not so much spirituality, but it's an enjoyment and an awareness of being able to widen the way you see the world and the way you even move in the world. And I think that's why I've always worked with color so strongly. And why I want abstract painting to have the ability to let more things in so it doesn't feel as rigid to people. It feels more accessible to people. So I guess that would be the thing that I would like to emphasize about the work.
Thank you. I'm glad you added that. That's important, and of course that makes sense. I want to thank you again for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and these beautiful works. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.